accession number 27759, Reel 2.
John Leopard, Reel 2. Yes, I was going to ask you about your education until, you know, 49, I think, you went into hospital,
yes,
you said.
Yes,
so during the war, here you were in the sort of London area, weren't you?
Yeah.
Did you find the schools were sort of very thinly populated because of the evacuation system? What had happened then?
The first school I went to, which was when I was about four and a half, I don't remember a great deal about the actual size of the classrooms, but when I went to Creek Road, I can remember just a small group of children, perhaps 15 to 20 at the most, in the school. When we, Mum took us up to Norfolk, I was put into a little village school, which consisted of two classrooms. And I do remember going to that one, and there was perhaps something like 10 to 15 children in the classroom. I do remember one incident there, where the aunt used to give me jam sandwiches for my lunch, and going into the locker room to pick up the jam sandwiches on one occasion, I pulled them out and just had a fistful of wasps. And that was one thing on the school that I do remember. But, yes, when I the aunt took me in from to Sidcup, I went to a local primary school there. I wasn't too bright. It took me some time to settle down to begin to learn. I went into a secondary school after that, secondary mod. Done very well. The only thing I was very backward with was the English, but I do like playing with figures. Maths was okay, and also used to do a lot of woodwork and metalwork. Used to enjoy that.
And was that, you know, normally populated, the secondary school?
Secondary school was just normal. It's 25 to 30 pupils per class.
Well, what happened if you had bombing raids at your schools? Were there shelters provided?
Yes, there was a large Anderson shelter that was in the playing field. One entrance for the boys and another one for the girls' school, which was next door. But we all met up in the middle. Yes, when that time, like the uncle that was looking after me, and was in full-time employment, but he also was a representative of the ARP, a reserve. He was called out on a number of occasions. We had one of the first doodle bugs that came over. I remember the uncle going up to about, I think it was about a mile away, collecting pieces of metal after the explosion, which they had to send to the War Department for examination. He also had an experience whereby one doodle bug came around some months later, hit the house not far from us, caught the wing of it, which turned it, and we lived in a crescent at one end, and the doodle bug turned and followed the crescent round to the other end of the crescent where it exploded. This was in the morning. The uncle came in that evening from work, put on his ARP uniform, met another colleague of his who was a volunteer, and they went to the end of the road, and the place was cordoned off, and the people were saying that there's somebody trapped underneath the house, and they could hear little cries, but but nobody had gone in there because they thought the place was going to collapse. Well, the uncle and his colleague decided to dig underneath it. They dug underneath it, and my uncle pulled out a young girl. Both her parents were dead, but the young girl, he got out, both legs crushed. But there was an inquiry sometime afterwards that the people that were paid as ARP wardens didn't do a thing, and it happened to be volunteers that went in there and got the young girl out. There was an inquiry about that, I believe, after the war. But it was apparently, I do remember one incident where I think it was the chap who was in charge of the ARP. He received quite a bit of money before the war when they first started the ARP locally. And as soon as war started, he went down the shelter and he wouldn't come out.
Did you experience any more bombings at school? Like, you've described two. Was there another one that you, another school that you said you were bombed out, that you experienced a bomb on? Or am I confusing it with the first one, where you said that they bombed three schools?
Well, no, the three schools that they shot up, I didn't attend two of those. This was one incident whereby they shot up three schools in Catford, Lewisham, and I believe one of those was Evelyn Street as well.
Oh. Were any of your other schools bombed while you were there?
No, not that actually bombed. There was bombs around. I mean, the Crick Road, there was...
Like the little boy's head.
Yeah, that you found. That was not the school, that was further up the road. We only saw that incident when we were going home.
Was there any sort of plan or thought at any time in the war that you and your sister should be evacuated sort of permanently to the country in a safer area? You were in a very dangerous area, weren't you?
Well, I think there's a number of people. Funny enough, I've just, a matter of a month or so ago, I've just came in contact with a cousin of mine who's a relation of my father's sister. We found them after 60 years, and we were talking about the schools at the time, and he was saying that he remembers the shelter being blown up. But we weren't there at that time. Obviously, we were in Norfolk. Because I do believe Mother went back to get a few things from the flat that we had, and she marked on the damage that had been done there. Can't remember any other.
Were you sort of nervous? Did you get nervous and frightened when you heard planes or when you went to bed at night? You know, I'm wondering what the effect of all this, apart from the nightmares and the bedwetting, which seems to be quite normal, you know, with children in your situation. But I wonder, you know, did you feel fear or
I don't remember actually being frightened. I remember, you know, running down to the shelters whenever we had the siren going. Most of the time it was exciting. But obviously, you know, you try to dispel the bad parts.
Do you think you do? No, children do adjust to that situation quite quickly.
Well,
your childhood was war, really, wasn't it?
Yes, yeah, I think so. We talk about schooling and what we used to do in the old days, but I don't know whether our children would put up with it these days, how they would react. It was a case of keep your pecker up and get on with it. You know, it's...
I suppose in a way it was normal life for you, wasn't it? If you couldn't remember much about the pre-war life, this would have been normality to you, the, you know, everyday occurrences, as it were. This would this have been sort of what you considered normal life?
Well, I do believe so, yes, because it's seeing the soldiers in uniform all the time, and the air raids going off, and the ambulances and fire engines travelling around all over the place, it was quite normal. But I do remember that when we were in Norfolk, at that time it was all American airmen that were around, and chasing after the American airmen, yelling out, "Any gum, chum?" And sometimes we did get some gum. But I do remember an incident where an American airman was rather friendly with one of the young ladies that used to live along from us. And I was very inquisitive at that age, around about 7. And one time I went along there and he said, "Oh, it's you again." He said, "I've got something for you." And he gave me a parachute, a small one that he'd made. He said, "Now, if you'd like to put that on and find yourself a big tree and jump off." He said, I think he was trying to get rid of me. Needless to say, being a silly little boy, I did try getting up a tree and jumping off, but I didn't do that. I only got halfway down the tree before I got caught up.
He had his own ideas of what he was doing. Yes, I suppose this, as you were saying earlier, you know, all these people in uniforms, it you know, must have been very much part of your normal life. I was wondering also, you know, did you have any social life? Were you able to have toys in the war?
I did have. I don't remember having a great deal of toys at the beginning of the war, but I suppose recollections from round about 7. I do remember having a big tin racing car, which was clockwork, which I had for a few years. Wish I had it now, but it'd be worse on me. But and towards the end of the war, the uncle and aunt that brought me up in Sikkim made me a fort, and I'd led soldiers, and which he used to make himself. Where he got the lead from, I don't know. But
would they have been painted? You know, would he have painted them?
Yes, he painted them. They were mostly modern soldiers, African Corps and different things, or India. He'd paint them in various regiments, saying, "Oh, this one's your father's regiment." Because most of my mother's family were all military. I had one uncle who was a visiting major in the last war. He'd been injured in the First World War, and all the other uncles and that were all various regiments. This is probably how my mother met my father, because they're all in the army together. Because prior to the war, going back into the 1920s, I think you find a lot of young men went into the army because of lack of work. But no, we've got quite an army tradition in the family. I still remember when I was a young man, I was always brought up to look after my own trousers. "You iron them military style, lad. Brown paper, and make sure you've got the creases right." military, that was the way I was brought up by uncles.
How about your social life? Did you go to the cinema at all?
Yes, I used to go to Saturday morning pictures as a child when I was at Sikkim. We used to walk up there, and I think it used to be sixpence. Six old pence, that is. And see the various, usually two major films and a cartoon. Every Saturday morning, yes. It was a regular occurrence.
I suppose this is when Hollywood came into lives, is it, in the war?
The American films. Yes. Well, we used to enjoy them because we used to have trailers of the film that come on next week, and sometimes some of the films were so long they used to split them up over 2 or 3 weeks. Yes, we used to rather enjoy that. We used to have a Sunday schools as well. We used to go on a Sunday. We used to have the Church of England, the Baptists, which I used to sometimes go into the Church of England. It depended on who was given the best text. If whatever one was issuing the right text at the same time, I used to go to that one.
How about the radio? Was that very important then?
Well, going back to Itmar and those days. It's going back. Yes,
but
we did
hear
a lot
Itmar
of radio.
What was Itmar?
Itmar, well, that was a... I forget the names of the people that were on there now. Henry Hall's Guest Night and all things like that. Yes, we're Itmar. It was a lot of comics. Memory that gets a bit hazy by time.
How about the news of the war? You were really still a very small boy, but were you interested in, did you know about the Germans and the Italians and what basically was happening in the war?
I didn't learn a lot from the radio, because I never used to listen to that type of the thing on the radio, but obviously the family used to talk about the different events that were going on in the war. They were always relaying information that what was coming over on the radio, so we were kept up to date, with everything that was going on. Even at school we used to be told exactly what was going on. Used to have a master there, used to have the map on there, and used to mark up on the map where the front line was and where what we were doing. This is going back on the 1943 onwards. Yeah, it's we learned all that kind of thing.
Did you know about the Russians? Did you hear about how the Russians were our allies? The grand alliance, America, Russia and Britain. I wondered if that came into it at all as children. You were told about the Russian contribution.
Yeah, we were told about our navy, merchant navy as well, and it was taking stuff over to Russia.
Yeah.
Back and forth there. Also the... I had a cousin who was in Bomber Command. He was a radio operator in the Lancaster, and he had a call to, apart from flying over to Germany, on one occasion, going near the Russian borders. I did hear tales on that. He got the... mentioned in dispatches, I believe, bringing a plane back to England after his pilot was out cold and he lost a few. But the pilot, obviously, was in charge and that, he got the Distinguished Flying Cross. But, it's one of these things happened during a while. So the person who's in charge, even if they're out cold and that, they usually get... more recognition than the lower ranks, but he done very well for himself.
How about food in the war? What is your recollection of that? How much you had to eat and what it was like?
Well, the aunt that I went to, and that they were, she was very good where food was concerned. I do remember that when she first took me in, prior to that she used to work at Colster Brands, I think it was called. They used to do war work, but as soon as she took me in, she was allowed to give that job up and to look after me, but she also helped to run a cafeteria. So she was an extremely good cook. But I always remember half the garden was taken over with an allotment. So we had a kitchen or kitchen garden. There's a lot of vegetables there, and I do remember the uncle having two chickens. So we had a supply of eggs, and we always had a chicken for Christmas. But you know, we didn't go without. I always remember the old dried eggs and things that we had during the war.
How about sweets? Did you have sweets?
Sweets. The only sweets I can remember were the old sticky boiled sweets that we had in those times. That was the only sweets I could remember. And also the no, I don't remember chocolate. I do remember the old black
licorice
all sorts and the licorice sticks. I did like licorice sticks. And the other thing that I did used to like very much, my aunt used to give me a penny for a bus fare to go to school. I ran to school, and with the 2p that I saved, I used to buy a little currant bun on the way to school, and the lady used to butter it, and I used to have that on the way to school, which helped me out, because I used to run. I suppose it was about 2.5 miles to school. But that stood me in good stead later, and that when I used to join the school's cross-country team, up to the age of 12, because we were all cross-country, but we were, in those days you were only allowed to do 6 miles at that age. But I never won anything, but I always came in second.
How about the build-up of your TB? That must have happened during the war, didn't it?
Well, it happened immediately after the war, because I used to be a Brussels sprout, a scout.
But did it gradually build up? Did you feel ill towards the end of the war?
Not during the war years. This happened when I was 11 or 12.
Yes, four years after the war.
I do remember the incident where it probably started. I was a patrol leader in the Scouts, and we went to a place in Littlehampton on an ex-major, I think it was an ex-major's estate. We had a large bell tent for the troop, and the troop leader and myself, and I had a little bivouac tent, which unfortunately hadn't been used for some years. We woke up one morning after a thunderstorm in the night, and we were both sleeping in a puddle of water. Both had terrible colds. At the time of the age of 12, I'd shot up. I was 5'10" at 12, same height as I am now. But I was skinny as a rick, and I think some months later we found out that the troop leader, his family, were actually ridden with TB. So we think that is the time that I caught the TB, because nobody in my family has ever had it before or since. So unfortunately, when we used to go, the aunt used to take me to the doctor, he used to say it was growing pains. He said he's shooting up so fast he's having growing pains. When I used to play football at school, I used to run at school, I used to box at the Scouts, and belonged to a local boys' boxing club. in the end, I couldn't even run round the football field just to warm up before a match. Eventually, the aunt said, look, it's not enough. I want them to go to hospital, to the doctor. And he sent me to a clinic over in Chislehurst. They took the x-rays, and when the doctor saw it, he told my aunt to take me home and put me straight into bed. Straight away, and they would get me into hospital as soon as they could. Unfortunately, when the aunt took me home, I said, can I go up to the club and tell them that I won't be fighting next week? And she said, well, you're supposed to go to bed. I said, well, all right, I'll just walk up there. I didn't tell her that I had a fight on that afternoon. And I took the worst beating I ever had. But come back with a black eye. Anyway, I was put to bed and I stayed there for the district nurse came in, started giving me injections. And I was transferred after 3 or 4 weeks to the Brook Hospital, where they apparently gave me 3 months to live. But after the end of 3 months, they said that I was in such good physical condition before coming in that I was able to fight it, because the medication that I had, and I was straight away responded to it.
End of reel two, John Leppard.